are protesting right now. CUNY is really an interesting
City University of New York
is a really interesting place because it actually graduates more African American students than all of the historically black colleges combined. So when you increase tuition at a location like CUNY, what actually occurs long term is increased inequality. This is part and parcel with the shifting burden that we've seen over the last 30 years, where the costs of education are now bared by students, are now bared by individuals rather than the public, which is how that used to, that system used to be. In fact, CUNY was actually a free school up until, I believe, it was 1976.
We're going to have to leave it there. I thank you both for being with us. The website that you've developed?
It's OccupyStudentDebtCampaign.org.
Pam Brown and Andrew Ross of New York University and the New School, thanks for being with us. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen. Happy birthday, Steve Martinez and Dina Guster. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
WPFW, Washington.
Good evening and welcome to the Raucous Caucus, live now. Live at Ben's Next Door. Next door to Ben's Chili Bowl, 12th and June. Mark, Terry, and Garland, three minds linked and locked in analysis, wit, and sagacity. Every Tuesday night, live. Live right here, 7 p.m. WPFW 89.3 FM. Welcome again, live with Terry, Mark, and Garland, and the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to the Rock Caucus. I am Terry D. Kester with Mark Levine.
And Garland's late.
Garland is always late.
Yeah, we're not sure if he's going to be here or not. I think he fell off the bus again.
He called and said he'd be late.
You know, good evening, gentlemen.
The star of the show is always fashionably late.
What? Let the pigeons loose.
Garland, you promised us you'd be late.
What is it with the pigeons?
And what's that all about?
And he's bringing the pigeons with him. I don't understand this.
What's wrong with Mark? He's supposed to be throwing rose petals along the walkway as I come over.
I was looking for, as happens with all royalty.
Giving back to you what you give me when I'm late.
It's a dosage problem, obviously. Hey, anyway, this is the Raucous Caucus, in case you didn't gather that. And we are on WPFW 89.3 FM. And as you can probably hear, we are down here at Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street. We're waiting for you because obviously you have something you can contribute to the show. You are part of the caucus. Get down here and, you know, set Garland straight and tell him to be on time. You know, simple things like that are what we need. Now he's leaving.
I think you insulted him.
I'm not sure I understand what's going on. Oh, he's working. Okay. All right. He's improving the situation is what he's doing. He's improving the ambiance.
Closing the curtain to improve our sound.
Oh, I wasn't going to tell him exactly
but that way you know if you come to Ben's Next Door, you walk in the back.
Yeah, you see the black curtain.
You come up to like the mezzanine, come up the stairs, and there's a curtain there. And I think sometimes people don't know we're behind the curtain. So
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
They know that.
It's just like the Wizard of Oz. Come on in. Check us out behind the curtain.
They know. That's it. Anyway, the Raucous Caucus, as usual, has a very serious topic tonight. Very serious. Yeah, very serious. Very serious. I got a couple announcements to make, though, before that. One.
Do you want to tell them the topic, at least?
Do I who? No. Yeah.
In one word.
In one word?
In one word.
A topic on the Raucous Caucus with one word?
The topic is?
We haven't done anything with one word.
The topic is capitalism.
No, the topic is capitalism is over.
Well,
that's the topic.
That's three words.
Okay.
Now give your announcement.
Okay. Announcement. Greg Palace next week. 7 days from yesterday. December 6th, Silver Spring, Greg Palast, author of Vulture's Picnic, a book you really want to get and read. You won't believe it. It gives you everything from the names to the phone numbers of the true petro-financial vultures that are raping America, not to mention the whole world. And that's going to be up in Silver Spring in a live...
America was dressing sexy. She deserved it.
I did what?
Sorry, go ahead. That's what people say.
Try to pay attention and take notes.
All right.
Anyway, he's going to be up there in Silver Spring at the Civic Building. And you just go to WPFW.org to get your tickets. It's a fundraiser for WPFW. So we're serving a lot of purposes there. One and foremost, to get out some knowledge from the most courageous investigative reporter left alive in the world, practically. It's really true. I mean, he's phenomenal on what he digs up and digs into. So get up there, 7 p.m. next Tuesday, December 6th, Greg Palast, Verna Avery Brown will be there. I will be there. Garland and Mark will be maintaining the Raucous Caucus right here.
Hopefully we'll be holding down the fort, doing our jobs while you're out gallivanting with Greg Palast.
Freeloader and gold brick.
Just so we're clear.
You guys should talk. Yeah. I mean to tell you. Anyway, you want to be there. Second announcement. Tomorrow morning, not to be the least bit redundant, but we will have an interview. I will have an interview with Greg Palast at 10 o'clock on What's at Stake, which is sort of a precursor to the whole show. Come to both events. You'll know everything in the world you need to know, and you'll start the revolution, which is what is needed. So
what's
listen to that.
I thought you already started the revolution.
I have, but it's not going quite the way I
want. Nobody knows it yet. You know, he's announced it, but you know, he's working on it.
I don't think the revolution knows that you started it.
No, I'm looking for a Rousseau. You know, I need a Rousseau.
He's working on getting followers.
I think
that's
the revolution went
revolution.
Ahead without Terry.
Well, that would be
and
fine.
I think you need to run ahead and go get caught up.
That's okay. If the revolution goes ahead, I have no problem with that as long as it starts. And peacefully,
hey,
I hope.
We have 8 followers now.
Hey, wow.
You know, on Raucous DC, at Raucous DC, R-A-U-C-L-U-S, DC, our new tweet network. We've given out one tweet, but
we'll
I'm going to do better.
We'll see. That
I'm going to do better. We have 8 followers now.
See, that
thank you, 8
it.
Followers.
That proves it. We already have followers for the revolution. Don't give me any
there
trouble.
There you go.
Anyway, okay, let me do a little intro in here to the topic. And, you know, I really honestly mean it. I think capitalism is just simply time for capitalism to go. To begin
pack
with,
it up, put it in a suitcase.
Yeah, something like that. There's no system that's ever been invented that serves denial and greed quite like capitalism. I mean, it's number one. Just, you know, 2 things I want to point out to you economically. You probably know one of these. The other one you may or may not know. 25% of our children in school are living in poverty in the United States. 1/4, 1 out of 4 children in school, in public schools in the United States are living in poverty. And frankly, you know, nobody really gives a damn. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. And on the other hand, the other side of the coin, the 1%, here's what they're doing. They are feeding their children. I'm not making this up.
They're feeding their children, actually the poor children.
No,
right.
No,
cooking them
no,
and
no,
it's
children.
A modest proposal.
No. Yeah. They are Jonathan feeding Swift their children golden ice cream.
Golden ice cream.
Golden ice cream. It's $1,000 for this sundae. That is served here in Washington, D.C. Let me give you a description of what
golden
this
ice
golden
cream.
Ice cream. It's called the Golden Opulence Sundae. They don't even really hide what it is.
Right.
You know, the Golden Opulence Sundae costs $1,000. It's Tahitian vanilla ice cream infused with Madagascar vanilla that is covered, catch this, in 23-carat edible gold leaf. Drizzled in the most expensive chocolate in the world, which is Amandelle Porcelanana, with chunks of cacao chocolate, topped with caviar, and infused with fresh orange, passion fruit from some country I've never even heard of. And instead of Jiminy's, you get truffles with it, dipped into French de Grais, from Jordan almonds, and marzipan fruits. The whole shebang is served in a Baccarat hard court crystal goblet, which you get to keep, just like one of those little plastic batting helmets at the ballpark. $1,000, 23-karat gold on the ice cream. This is being served in a restaurant, Serendipity 3, as a matter of fact. It's the name of the restaurant right here in Washington, D.C. That's how the other half, no, not the other half, the other 1%
of people order the golden ice cream.
So far, 5 million and 10.
No.
No, no. So far, everybody over 1%.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd
having
be
it,
curious
having it shipped
to know, because this to me...
It's ridiculous.
I all the words I can think of the people who would eat this ice cream, I can't say on air, which
is completely
unfair.
But they are buying it.
Because I can think of about 12 words and none of them I can say on the radio.
But you know what's interesting about that, Terry, is what's interesting about that is that the immediately you would think that nobody buys that. But I happen to talk to a friend of mine who has a business that they sell, you know, very high-end stuff to the wealthy. Yeah. And I was talking not long ago, and I said, I imagine business is not doing too well with it. They said, no. They said, I sell high-end expensive stuff. Business is great. And
it's
it struck
great.
Me once
it's
again, wait a minute. If you're selling stuff to the wealthy, they've never been doing better.
No. They have not heard at all. The top 1% hasn't been heard at all. Let me go on a little bit more. Just, you know, give us a little perspective here on this.
Oh, how'd that ice cream taste, Terry? I meant to, you know, did it have pretty good flavor?
Did you like
Terry? You know,
did you buy it by the gallon?
The 23 gold, you know, the 23 karat gold got caught in my teeth.
A little crunchy,
you know. So it was a little problem there, you know.
Did it get caught in your gold teeth?
Yes, it did, as a matter of fact, yes. Yes. I wish I had $1,000 for ice cream, but I wouldn't spend it there anyway. Anyway. You know, every system, from the beginning, from Cain and Abel on, you know, we've been playing one-upmanship, which is basically what capitalism.
Cain worked on Wall Street?
What was that?
You didn't know that?
No wonder it killed Abel.
But exactly. Since Cain and Gingrich? Same difference.
Herman. It was Herman Cain.
They're killing us all. Yeah.
Same difference. Herman Cain killed Abel.
You know, and just never forget, you know, when capitalism reached its peak, its best, when capitalism was really running great, was for the centuries, and I do mean centuries and centuries, of slavery. Then it was really
cooking. That was capitalism's best.
Cheap labor. That was good. Yeah, you know, it's the best
labor
ever.
Costs were cheap
And that continued, you know, up until only a few hundred years ago, really, honestly. I mean, less than 200 years ago, three-fourths of the world's population was in slavery. That doesn't happen by accident.
Do you know what the undocumented fruit pickers are getting right now, buddy? Slavery is not over.
Probably less.
Yeah,
probably, you know,
what's his name?
Often got housing.
You know, Perry in Texas. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's basically the slave wage king.
Correct.
You know, Texas has the lowest paid workers next to Mississippi. One state worse. Anyway.
I have sent out our second tweet.
Good.
At Raucous D.C.
Good. Things changed a little bit after World War II, partially with the pressure from communism and two world wars, and we got to look at things a little bit differently, and so much horror that we needed some compassion built into the system. A little bit happened here in the U.S., and a lot happened in Europe. And for a while, frankly, the super rich seemed to retreat, or so it seemed. But then we had the 60s. The slaves were gaining power. And I don't mean the 1860s, I mean the 1960s.
Which one were you involved in?
Both. I was a leader then, too.
All right.
And the British began to ramp up their greed machine using their favorite tool, capitalism. Ask not what you can do for your country, only ask how the hell you can make a profit. That's the American model, by the way. Wouldn't be so bad, but they convinced people, and this is crucial, they convinced the American people that greed is good.
You mean it isn't?
Greed, well, it is if you're in the 1%.
Yeah. Okay.
Greed is good in sports. It's good in finance. And really, this is their top achievement. It's good in churches. You know, greed is just.
Gotta fund the church.
Yeah. Greed is just part of our gospel. I mean, it's really, you know, phenomenal the way they've achieved that.
Well, you know, all that stuff about easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than the rich man enter heaven. I mean, you know, no Christian ever said that.
No, that's irrelevant. Irrelevant. All right, just continuing a little bit here. Furthermore, the super rich capitalists now own, I'm not making this up, they own most of the world. They really honestly do, from water to diamonds, from land to government. They've won, is the point. And I want to give you one example of how it works, just so you understand this. You'll learn more of this from Craig Palace. This is where the information came from. How many of you have you guys heard of Paul Singer? You know who Paul Singer is?
Not right offhand. No.
Well, this is one of the people you're going to learn to love. He's now... The topper to all of this is Romney's economic advisor.
Makes sense.
One of them.
All right.
Okay, here's how Mr. Singer makes his money and how all of the vultures in the petrol financial market make their money. Remember Corning Glass, you've heard of them? Used to make asbestos, right? Okay, well, they knew, I should mention also that Halliburton, of course, was in
an environmentally friendly product, I might add.
Yeah, they knew that, you know, it was not good stuff for the workers, but they didn't bother telling
you can
the workers
get more
then.
Workers after they die.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the supply is endless.
Just bring in Mexicans.
Yeah, they're killing hundreds of workers, and they knew it all along. Finally, the workers, you know, they started dying and having lung cancer and everything else.
How dare they? When they're supposed to be working and doing the job and they die.
They die, and they get lung cancer, and they don't show up on time. I mean, you know, it's terrible. So anyway, the workers finally figured out, and they sue, right? And they win. Takes years, of course, but they win. They win a settlement. They get a settlement for their suffering.
Damn trial
early
lawyers.
Deaths. Yeah. Not a lot, but they get it. Because of that, Corning damn near collapses. Stocks plummet. Along comes Paul Singer. Never forget this name. It's one of many. Never forget this name, Paul Singer. And he comes along. Corning's stock is dying. And he, just like the hedge funds run by Romney and Cheney, or involved with Cheney, he buys Corning. for a rusty nickel. Frankly, he gets cornered before it goes bankrupt or whatever with this big settlement again. He immediately legally screws the workers, getting a much lower settlement. He lays workers off. He increases the company's debt, but the American dream, he shows a profit.
I bet he makes a lot of money doing that, too.
The stock goes up, and he immediately sells the company for billions. That is the pattern in industry after industry after industry. When it gets to the countries, and I'll leave it for Greg Palast to explain that, when it gets to what they do to countries, particularly in Africa, it is nothing less than capitalistic rape. And, you know, there's nothing that can stop this. This is the real problem. There's no international organization that can stop it. If you try to stop it nationally, they'll just shift their money, shift their operations. There's no way to really regulate them. They are too big to fail. It's never, ever been on this scale before, from the Federal Reserve to the presidency. You know, they're just tools. You're just tools for the capitalist vultures.
You know, part of it is just the nature of globalization. I mean, it used to be you had to go to Africa, get your slaves, have them come
back and work for you.
Today, you go, you take your company to China, and you get your Chinese children to make your products for you at, you know, 10 cents a day or whatever you want to pay them. Or in India or Mexico or you know, wherever the corporations go.
Well, I'm trying
You don't even have to worry so much about feeding and housing them anymore. Yeah. You may have to beat them every now and then, but you had to beat the slaves too.
Yeah, right.
So for a capitalist, life is pretty good.
It works pretty good. And, you know, this is my real point. I mean, there's some point. You know, every phase, every era has its own systemic problems and systemic operations of economics, et cetera. We really honestly need to find a different way of doing business. We really honestly do.
There's the rub. I'm going to get you back on
that.
Oh,
I know.
I know this.
Mark is a capitalist. You know, I want to announce that.
I do not believe in pure socialism. That's true. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, okay.
First, I want to hear
Garland. New capitalism. What is it? Yeah,
well, here's the thing about it. And to get down to the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Pure capitalism. If we were in pure capitalism, the government wouldn't own anything.
That's right.
That's the way it is with hedge funds.
In pure socialism, the government owns everything.
Right,
there's
right.
no private industry. I mean,
there's no private ownership
companies,
of anything.
Countries that people call such as China. China is state capitalism.
Yeah, China is definitely not
one correction. One correction. That's not pure socialism. That would be pure communism.
Right.
Socialism never goes
that
far.
Right, right, right. But I mean, so right now, what's happening, I think, in our society and what has happened throughout the so-called industrialized nation has been, and I'm with Mark, I think we need.
What?
I think we need a mix.
What did you
system.
Say? We need a mixture
need a
of the
two. With Mark? Mixture. But what's happened
That's
is
right.
This.
We're both against Jupiter.
What has happened is this.
Now.
Our society, both, and keep in mind, forget the United States, because for these multinational corporations and for the top 1%, there are no countries for them.
That's right.
So
That's
here's
right.
what's happened.
And there's no loyalty.
They have taken our industrialized society closer and closer and closer to pure capitalism. Because when you get to pure capitalism, it benefits the most wealthy. The smaller the government, the more it benefits the most wealthy. When you get into a larger government with more safety net and more things, if you're very, very poor, the government can provide services
for you. How do
you
stop it? When they own the damn world and the politicians.
Well, that's the question. I think this is what I think. You can't stop it. It has to stop itself by collapsing, which I don't know if you've looked around. I think that's what we are in the process of experiencing now.
But as you pointed out, even if it collapses, the super rich aren't hurt.
Because this is bigger than capitalism. What's going on now, it's bigger than just capitalism, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay, Mark?
Look, there's two things, I think, in any economic government system. There's democracy versus a dictator, right?
And there's
capitalism versus socialism. And I think you could have any mixture.
They don't
those.
Have to be versus, do they?
I mean, China went from a more socialist dictatorship to a more capitalist dictatorship. They're still a dictatorship.
Yeah.
They're still not living free. The United States has gone back and forth. We were pretty close to pure capitalism well up into the late 1890s.
Yep.
Then with
an economic collapse.
Things like the Federal Reserve and things like the New Deal and things like Social Security
and
things
the collapse.
Like the
and
GI
union,
Bill
unions.
And
no.
unions.
And
of
the
course
collapse.
With unions. And the collapse and the Great Depression leading to the need for these reforms, or at least people saw the need, we became a much more mixed economy.
You might even use the word compassionate occasionally. A little bit. Somewhat.
More mixed. We had some compassion. We had the war on poverty under Lyndon Johnson. We had, I mean, Medicaid is a compassionate program. The Environmental Protection Agency under, believe it or not, Richard Nixon protects our environment. There's a lot of good programs. To me, though, the question isn't, is capitalism over? Kill capitalism. My question for that is very simple, Terry. If capitalism is gone, what are you replacing
that
it with?
That is the question, and that's
to
why
me,
I'm,
the question
that's
is,
why I'm introducing
I
the
think
topic.
we need to have capitalism carefully watched, carefully policed, the way it was, you know,
how
in the
are you
60s
do
and
that?
70s.
How are you going to get control?
We've actually done some of that.
No.
Let me
that's
give
in the
example.
Past. That's in the past.
Well,
this is not the same situation. That's the point. We are on a scale now that the world has never been on before. Yes, there was, you know, Genghis Khan.
You mean because of globalization?
Because of polarization and the ability to move money and the ability to control money and hide money. We don't know what the hedge funds are doing. We don't know,
you know
what all these
people have been
are doing.
Hiding money different ways,
not
but
on
for
this,
hundreds of years.
Not on this scale.
I guarantee you, Uncle Scrooge.
You know, I mean,
gold.
You know, if King Henry is screwing you, which he was, you know,
which he was,
you can find his castle. You really can. And if you really get ticked, you can probably storm his castle. And if you get lucky after you fight off a few thousand soldiers, you might actually do some damage to King Henry. It's exactly what the French did in the French Revolution. Ugly as it was, that's what they did. Today,
I hope that's not a model for our future.
Today.
Because it didn't end well, even for the peasants.
Yes, it did. But anyway, it was ugly, but it ended well. But
there
today,
is a lot of blood spilled.
Yeah, but you know, I mean. But today, how do you get control of this? How do you even pass any legislation that will have any effect whatsoever anywhere,
well,
without an international government?
And that's a good point, Terry, and I'd like to expand on what you were saying a little bit. What's happened now, and how do you hide it?
Yeah.
What's happened now through the invention of the internet and all of these complicated financial transactions that
managed capitalism.
Right. The transactions, the way they play with money and play with people's lives has become so complicated that when we have these collapses, when things start going downhill, the average person has no clue how it happened.
And
the
regulators
can't figure out what's going. We can see the results of it. You know, it's kind of like the wind. You can feel the wind, but you can't see
but
it.
God,
let me just finish.
Okay. Right.
So the average person feels, oh my gosh, I don't have a job and all these bad things going. They see a small percentage of people have everything, but they really have no clue how it happened. And on top of that, the super wealthy can put forth propaganda to convince the average person, well, it was the poor person that did it. So they have the advantage of having complicated ways of screwing us all with and taking our money and then having a media
us.
And a powerful propaganda machine
to manipulate us
yep. and convince us that it was the poor people that
Garland,
did it.
Garland, that's all true, but
yes,
there's nothing new under the sun. I guarantee you in the time of feudalism and slavery, they didn't let the peasants read, right? They tried to keep the slaves illiterate and they told them that this is just the way it is. The Egyptian pharaoh claimed he was descended from God, his
right.
divine right. Rulers and powerful people, whether they be wealthy people or kings or dukes or pharaohs, have always tried to trick their slaves, trick the people who are poor, who are working for them. And, you know, the king knows what's going on and the peasant doesn't know what's going on. So while that's true today, I venture to say that has always been true throughout humanity.
I would agree.
Okay, let me ask the
next. So that's not new.
There's another new factor that we haven't put into it. And, you know, the scale is big, which I've mentioned, but the other factor is, Garland hinted at it, we have created a culture of greed.
Sure.
And that is the primary achievement of these guys. A cult, whether it's, you know, the athletes making millions of dollars.
Commercialism.
Commercialism. Whether, you know, Black Friday. I mean, all this is a disgrace. The average person in Black Friday in these economic times spent $358. That's
and
absurd.
That makes our economy strong.
On their credit card.
And when you've got an economy that is based on 70% consumerism, 40% of that 70% is earned in these few days, you've got a crazy, screwed up system.
You know what?
And the other factor, you've got to factor into this. You have a system that is, in fact, unsustainable in terms of our planet and our resources.
And that has never been on this scale before. It's only unsustainable because the middle class can't afford the very capitalism, consumerism, and commercialism that they so enjoy. If they could afford it, I don't know that I'd have a problem with it. I don't really have a problem
with
it.
What do you mean? What do you mean if they could afford
it? What I mean is that if people had decent wages, if the unions were strong as they were 30, 40 years ago, and people could afford all the stuff they buy on Black Friday, let them give toys to the kids at Christmas.
No, because I
have no problem
with that. You're leaving out the other factor. We are at a point, again on a scale, where we have an unsustainable system.
But the problem is income inequality.
It's not that people
buy things.
No, it is. But I'm talking about environment. We can't sustain this on this planet anymore.
Right.
That's a fact.
I think we could
if we had more equality.
It's going to stop the melting of the ice caps?
Yeah, right. I agree with Terry.
It's not the different issue. It's the same issue.
Yeah, to say that it's unsustainable, it's unsustainable in a number of ways. Now, what you're saying, Mark, even what you're saying, if people had jobs, blah, 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 what would we still have? We would still have an economy that, by the nature of the way it's set up, it must expand to exist. If our economy does not expand, then it collapses.
It falls apart
in a depression.
That's true.
It is unsustainable. You cannot
possibly.
But we have
a population expanding. You've got to have an economy to expand.
Which you don't have to have
which,
a population.
Which, think about it. How can you have an economy that expands, and now you're talking, that expands indefinitely?
Yeah, you can.
Why not?
Wait.
Because you have limited resources.
I was about to say, we have a limited mass of land.
But you can learn how to use resources better.
And are we doing
not if you keep expanding.
No, we're not. But that doesn't mean we can't. It just means we're not.
Yes, you're right on that. In the ideal world, it could be done.
You are saying it's impossible to work. What I'm saying is we're not doing it, but it's still possible to make it work.
They'll put that
on our tombstones. They'll put that on the tombstone of mankind.
We could have made it work. We just didn't.
You know, if they'd have just done things right, there might be a few of them left
today. And the
today.
Bigger question, which I want to get to as soon as we get back to the show, we're going to take a short break here, but as soon as we get back to it, is what can we replace it with it? What can we get in place that doesn't create the same insanity that we are now in? I am Terry DeKester here with my capitalist friend, Mark Levine.
I am partially capitalist.
Partially capitalist.
And partially socialist.
And my other semi-capitalist friend,
Garland Nixon.
This is the Raucous Caucus, WPFW 89.3 FM. We're not on.
I thought you were going to call us Marx and Ingalls.
There you go.
Hey. Oh, can we do that?
Garland.
We're on break here, I think.
Did he give you a signal?
I don't know.
I didn't see a signal because it looks like we're early.
Are we early? Hello. Are you out there, listeners? Have you got any money? Can you send it to us?
I don't know whether we're on the air or not. We could do a barbershop quartet
Let's
thing
sing.
Going on
well,
here.
Don't
you're
sing any of
the
words
money,
that you can't
you're
say.
You're in the money.
Money makes the world go around.
We're not on a break.
See, Terry, if you are watching the time, like you should be watching the climate.
This is a reason.
Watching income
see,
inequality.
Now this is good.
They were trying to catch us, Terry.
This is good.
They were trying to make us think
this
we're off mic.
This
so we
shows
can
you what we do.
You've got to support WPFW. You've got to come to the pledge drive, the fundraising event with Greg Palace, because we need producers. We need clocks. We need people who can tell the time.
We need a Terry who watches the guy running the Daniel, who's working very hard to man
and
the board.
Now we have to wrap it up.
Turn the hourglass over, man.
We got to wrap this thing up.
Time break.
We'll be back after this.
Please join Bread for the Soul, WPFW, and DC Public Library in our annual toy and book drive for children with HIV/AIDS or whose parents have HIV/AIDS. Beginning now, please drop off new, unwrapped toys and child-appropriate books to any branch of the DC Public Library by December 14th. Volunteers are also needed as drivers and delivery persons to deliver food baskets and toys on December 17th. To volunteer, please call 202-421-8608 or 202-488-3404. Help make a child's Christmas bright. Thank you.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Woo!
You'll be happy to know that we have a brilliant engineer and a brilliant producer now keeping track of the time. We're
actually,
in control.
Daniel kept
We're
very
in
good
control.
Track
it's
of the
great.
Time for the beginning. Yep. You just apparently weren't watching him. Like
we're actually the idiots in this operation. You know, we're the weak link. You might
say. Okay? Difference. You notice the difference between my friend Garland and my friend Mark.
Yeah, I blame Terry.
Blame me.
And Garland.
Spread the love, man. I'm spreading the love.
Spread the love. I love them. Anyway, this is the
Terry,
Raucous.
Can I ask you a question?
Wait a minute. It's Raucous Caucus. Let's just settle that. It is the
89.3 FM.
Pacifica.
In Washington, D.C.
At Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street.
1211 U
Street. We're on every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
At 7 p.m.
Want to remind you, next Tuesday, Greg Palast in Silver Spring. Go to WPFW.org. Listen tomorrow morning to What's at Stake for the interview with Greg Palast.
And if you can't make it to Silver Spring, just turn on your radio. Garland and I will have a terrific Raucous Caucus without Terry.
Yeah. And
it'll be amazing.
It'll be amazing.
You won't want to miss that.
They won't be able to tell the time or anything. You know, without me, there's no question.
We actually do quite well without you.
You did have a question, but before you have a question, the question on the table, the topic on the table is, one, other than just hope, how do we get something to change in this capitalistic takeover of the world? And two, what can you replace it with? And we have a guest in the audience, Hayal, and I know I overemphasize it. Welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Your question, your solution.
Yeah, I think I have a solution.
Good.
There is another political economy.
It is
the kingdom of God. And it is the solution to the problem that you're talking about. And the way it works is you work for God. And God.
Which God?
There's only one God.
The one that you worship or the one that someone else worships?
Well, let's see. Whichever God it is, let's see if he's got a good plan.
All right.
There's a supreme being. He has a name. And that's the God I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, but
everyone
sees him differently.
What's the plan?
Hey, what's the plan? We want to hear the plan.
We'll do theology next week.
It doesn't matter if different people see him differently because there's still reality.
Okay, but still the plan. We need the plan. I don't want to get into a theological argument.
The way you
argument.
Work for God is you obey his commandments. And then he kind of plays the part of the government, like the United States government protects us with the Defense Department and programs. Well, God has programs too. Programs are infinitely better, frankly.
Okay, Hayal, let me ask, you know, if we accept your idea, it has never worked before in history. It has never happened before. Why would it happen now? The human race hasn't changed.
It has worked. It has worked.
Well, yeah. Where, when, how long?
Well, most notably in ancient Israel in biblical times.
I should note there's some really good economic legislation in the Bible, and we talked
about that. Yeah.
For example, the idea that you let the poor eat from a quarter of your field every 7 years, you forgive debts, and every 50 years you redistribute all the property.
That is
in the Bible.
Yeah.
It was only done very briefly in ancient Israel.
Yeah, I think a week and a half.
But. Yeah. You know, not everyone accepts that, and of course, there's been,
here's the thing, over the course of the millennia, there's been, any number, the ancient Egyptians had their civilization, the Mayans.
It's called slavery.
Yeah, there's been
terrible.
There's been a lot of, I'm just saying, there's been a lot of different civilizations, and they have kind of drifted, and here's the bottom line, they've kind of drifted in one direction into basically what we have now. It's what we have now. And here's the point I was making earlier, Ayal, and I understand where you're going. What we have now has turned into kind of a worldwide political smoke. Let me change that. You know what? Actually, let's go in a different direction. Maybe it's not even political anymore. The only thing we're talking about is money and economics. Because the government's run by economics. It's not really politics. Money. You know, the government. Look, what happened in Greece? Guess what? Goldman Sachs was behind that.
Yeah!
They fell apart because of money in Goldman Sachs. When we look at what's happening in the industrialized world and go to the Soviet Union, what happened? They went from state capitalism, which we called communism.
Okay, so how do we get past this?
What I'm saying is this. It's all melded so much into one
thing.
It's
cultural.
And I think we're going in the opposite direction from getting past it.
Yes, me too.
It's getting its tentacles in every single... I bet if you go to Antarctica and check the penguins, 1% of the penguins own 99% of the fish.
Let me give you one example, because, I mean, Hayal brings up an interesting point, and Garland expanded on it. There is a spiritual part of this, and I don't want to get too much into theology and stuff, unless it solves our problems. But, you know... this is a quote from Jacob Needleman. He's a renowned philosopher and professor of religions at San Francisco State.
Kind of like Mark.
Yeah, and
you really want to look into this guy.
Here's his quote. This was in Sun Magazine, which again is a magazine you must get a hold of. It's phenomenal.
Magazine is it?
It's a Sun Magazine. It has no advertising. The writing is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, whether it's poetry, fiction, or economics. Anyway, the quote from Jacob Needleman, Professor Nick, humanity's situation is much worse than we like to think. Yet the possibility within humanity is also greater than we can imagine. But we are heavily influenced at every moment by forces within and without that we don't see, understand, or acknowledge. We are freely choosing to do something, but instead we are actually driven to do it, internally and externally. The internal point, of course, there is a very, very dark side to every single human being on this planet, including me and Mark and Garland, and we're reacting to that and using that as we rob from each other so we can be number one.
Terry, I want to ask you the question that Hayal asked me right before we began the show. When he heard the topic was, is capitalism over, he said, what is capitalism? And I have that same question for you, because I think we all define it very differently. I mean, I am more than happy to foment against globalization and corporatization and crony capitalism and money and politics and all that kind of thing. But when you say, is capitalism over?
Well, that wasn't exactly the topic. What do we replace it with is the real topic.
Well, that's the second question. Is what we replace. I mean, as Rick Perry might say, one, is capitalism over? Two, what do we replace it with? And three,
oops.
Yeah. So those are just two questions then.
The EPA.
Anyway, EPA.
That's three.
What is capitalism in your mind? You surely don't want to abolish private property, do you?
Capitalism, in my mind, can work on a very small scale, and that's
what is capitalism?
Capitalism is simply the ability without shenanigans. Let me put it this way: the ideal capitalistic system, if there could be one, and I don't believe there can be, but the ideal capitalistic system would be where you can invest capital, make a profit, and reinvest capital, and continue to grow your profit, and it's all nice and tidy, and you don't
and
really...
And it would be transparent.
You're not a pharmaceutical.
No, but it would be transparent, you know? Right?
Yeah.
And it wouldn't harm anybody, and people would get fair wages. It sounds to me like that's regulated capitalism, the kind that I support.
Okay.
With unions and things that protect against pollution, and transparent markets,
and those days
fair
are
markets.
So how do you get...
Those days
how
are
do you
not
get,
over.
How
we
do
can
you
get
from
again.
This? How do you get from this point to that point back in time, long ways back, about 50 years really, where you have really solid regulation
and we have a system in place that just needs to be enforced. We need a stronger Securities and Exchange Commission.
We need
a stronger Environmental Protection Agency.
But
capitalists
own these.
They
own
only
them.
Because they own the politicians. If
yes.
you take the money out of the politicians,
yes.
you
how
can
do we do that?
The system.
You know, and
public
finance. What you guys are saying here's what's interesting. One of the questions is, what is capitalism? Another question is, how do we get away from whatever we have now? So let me pose two other things here. Number one, I think what is capitalism is a good question, but I think now we have some kind of a monster that I wouldn't call capitalism.
I would call it crony capitalism.
For instance, like in Russia, the term the mafia in Russia is considered a noxious blend of business, politics.
Crony capitalism.
And something else, I can't remember what it is, crime.
Crime.
Oops, but at any rate. Think about it. That blend of politics, business, and crime. That's what mafia means. That's how the Russian people see mafia. It's kind of all blended into one. What we have now, it's bigger than capitalism. So the question is, what is it? Well, I think we need a name for it. And the question two is, how do we get back from it? You know, I almost feel, I hate to say this, but I almost feel in some ways we've gone over some kind of a tipping point.
Yep.
And I think that happened around 2000, after the housing boom.
It happened in 1930.
I think that was different.
That was a heck of a tipping point.
Well,
and it changed the country for good for a long time.
It took us in one direction. It took us in one direction. And after the Bush administration, somewhere in the 2000s, excuse me, after Reagan in 80, we had about 30 years that pushed us in another direction. And I think we went over another tipping point. Something, Terry's making a good point as to what has to happen. Something has to bring us to happen to bring us, I don't know, I wouldn't say bring us back to where we were before, because I would say if we went back to where we were before, inevitably we would be here again.
Well, that's okay in a sense, because we do know things have their own season and things do change and
but
they do go back and forth.
It's easy to complain and hard to fix. So, Terry, give me your nirvana.
Nirvana is frankly going back sort of, as Garland said, somewhere in the, where you have what shall we call it, communism. Community.
It's called communitarianism.
Communitarianism.
Which is the philosophy.
I mean, in case, you know, you didn't, well, in case people don't remember it, it used to be that your hospitals were community hospitals. It used to be that your utilities, remember this, guys, way back before Enron? They were called public utilities because the rates that they could charge was actually controlled.
The government.
You probably don't believe this, but this really was the way it was. Right. Your government controlled, not federal government,
because
state government.
Because it's a natural monopoly. That's
controlled
why.
The rates. You know, a sense somehow.
Like the railroads in monopoly.
Yeah, right.
Communitarianism. Any free market economist, including conservative free market economists, people like Milton Friedman, would agree, because it's basic economics, that when you have a monopoly, it can make monopoly profits, and that the only way to deal with a monopoly is to regulate it.
Okay.
And frankly, that's even a conservative economist.
I mean, you know, maybe the answer is, and this is the answer I don't like, but this is the answer that's quite possible, is when you have a complete destruction of society one way or the other, then things will change.
But Terry, there's a whole group of people
We're
in this country, probably 40 to 50% of us, we call them Republicans, that will tell you that regulation is not the solution, it's the problem. We need less regulation. We need more pollution. We need fewer unions. We need more slavery. We need more globalization in China. And that's not 1%. That's well nigh close to 50%.
No, it's about 30%.
Well, whatever it is, it's a hefty chunk of our fellow citizens, and they don't get it.
No, but that's the other point that I was making with that quote. You see, America is, our culture is in denial. We are not admitting to ourselves and, you know, to each other the dark side of our nature, the selfish people that we have become, the individualists that we have taken to the extreme, the exceptionalism, which has all been taught.
We admit it.
You know, and the
people call it the American dream.
But this is one of the reasons I really want you to get involved with and read this book by Greg Powell. You know, I'm not talking about General Motors here. We're talking above that. We're talking about the top vultures.
You're talking about the CEOs and board of directors.
Even above that.
I'm talking about the Paul Springers. I'm talking about the economic advisor to Romney, the Paul Springers, that are raping countries. The Dick Cheneys that are raping countries. I don't want to go into all the details because it would take far too long, but they've done the same thing that they did to Corning that I gave you the example on a much larger scale to the Congo, to Zaire, to Liberia to the nth degree. Making tremendous profits
in Nigeria with their oil.
And Nigeria,
frankly, it's colonialism. It used to be done by governments, and now it's done by corporations.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about simply financial shenanigans. Strictly going into a country, bribing the president to sell you. This happened in Zaire.
Right.
Bribed the president. Got $3 million to give you. The notes.
Is that kind of like trading a bunch of beads for worth $24 for
it's
Manhattan?
Worse.
Well, sounds kind of similar to me.
Let me just
show
you.
It's
been worse.
Done before.
No, it's worse. You get the note from Zaire, right, for $3 million. It's a bribe is all it is. It's $3 million. You get the note. The money is actually loaned to Romania. The World Bank and the IMF figures a way using our money, your money, the taxpayers' money to, pay basically the debt. But now the owner, Springer in this case, again, Springer in this case.
I thought he was Singer.
No, Springer with a P.
Springer.
He goes back, and in the courts in the United States, not other countries can you do this, he sues for that same note that he got basically illegally by the bride, for that note to be paid, you know, full amount. He wins the case because that's our law that allows it, and he puts in his pocket $45 million. If he can't get the dollars, they actually will seize ships on the high seas, which they've done. They will seize, of course, the resources, the diamonds, and put the money into their individual pocket.
I don't know the
specifics
of that
case. These are the people that I am talking about.
I do know this. I know there is a law that prohibits prohibits bribing foreign officials. And
yeah,
so the question
right.
is not
right.
does our whole system
yeah,
have
and
to
we
be
don't do
destroyed.
It, therefore.
No, no. The point is that we have laws, we have regulations, we have administrative agencies that if they did their job
right.
and were allowed to do their job, could police some of the abuses you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, Mark, that 30%, the whatever percentage, you know, the Tea Party people, the 30% you were talking
it's
about.
It's at least 40.
Yeah, well, whatever the percentage it is, it's what I was talking about before, and that is what Terry was explaining a very complicated way, a complicated way that they go behind our backs and we all get the shaft and they make lots of money. Okay. These people... It's that's kind of complicated and confusing. It's going on in the background. We don't know what's really happening. Well, these
that's
people
why they call it
are
shenanigans.
are fed a very simplistic answer. There's too many regulations, taxes
right.
are too high, et cetera. And if you notice one thing about all of those answers that they're given, they benefit the very, very
of course.
Richest people. Fewer regulations benefit
right.
the super wealthy
right.
corporations.
Of course.
Lower taxes benefit the super wealthy. So what we have is you can't fix a problem because keep in mind the in order for major laws to be changed and major things to be happened, they're going to have to be supported by a lot of Americans
yeah.
in order to get the people in
Uh-oh.
In the office that could change
yeah.
them, right? They can convince, these super wealthy can convince enough people of some simplistic fashion or some simplistic answers that have nothing to do with the problem to keep those real solutions from ever coming to life. And therefore, we're left with what we're left with,
and
which is a bad system that's getting worse. I feel like I'm the harbinger of doom here, but
it's
in reality,
Cassandra's sitting to your
yeah,
right.
No, yeah, if you've gotten to the point where your economic system is in fact, and this is fact, deliberately and without caring, melting the polar ice caps, you've got a system that's way, way, way out of control.
And
I mean,
people,
that's phenomenal.
And the people and the citizens
but the question
are fighting for solutions that would only make it worse.
But yeah. that's my question. See, it's easy to complain about the problem. It really is, and we do it all the
time.
And
we actually enjoy it.
And we
I
do.
I enjoy complaining about the problem. I make a habit of it.
We Jews call it kvetching, okay?
Yes.
We love it. But it's a lot harder to design a solution.
That's
why I asked you
that's the second
for
question.
Your nirvana. I want to know, Terry.
Well, I gave
perfect
you that.
World,
I gave you that.
No, I mean,
communitarianism.
Well, let's talk about communitarianism because
let's only because of time.
Okay,
because
Sayal's got something else.
We've got another capitalist here, I believe.
And then Anthony, I know, does as well.
So let Anthony, Sayal, just thank you just very, very much. But let me get Anthony in here because of our short time. And
he's going to solve the economic woes of the world?
Yeah, he is. Hello, welcome to this capitalistic forum.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me yet again. I think the fundamentals of this question runs into the nature of man. The nature of man to basically
yes.
one up
yep.
one another. And that's going to exist, whether the people who are getting the better of man are a minority
yep.
or a larger majority. Actually, a larger minority. I'll call it that. But this kind of hyper-utopian, you know, Shangri-La kind of idea is not in our DNA. We will figure out a way to manipulate that to the point where we take advantage of each other, which is basically ancient instruments. You know,
it's
a corporate instrument.
But Anthony, you say it's not in our nature, and as Needleman points out, we have both.
I agree.
We have the possibility of imagining a better way. We have been taught and inculcated to let the dark side come out and to take advantage of each other.
Yeah, but I would even say to Needleman, even when you look at early civilizations, once we got beyond, I think it was 120 people in a society, something along those lines, you know, we ended up doing this naturally. And,
not everybody.
We're not going to revert. Well, for the most part. We're not going to revert.
But even as a system,
we're going to still live in a country where there's cars and money and value and somebody has nicer stuff than other people. Somebody has one rock. Somebody else has two rocks. You know, so we're still going to be chasing that. And that's kind of the nature that's going to make all of this Shangri-La.
But it's not. But it's not necessary. Communitarianism can exist.
Terry,
and
the
has.
Only way you
We've
can.
We've got 10
can,
minutes
the
to
only
solve
way
all the
you're
problems.
You're going to get hundreds of millions of Americans to be communitarian would be by force, and then you're back to communism again.
Well,
the only way you
no.
can have a communitarian system.
Not necessarily.
Is to have it voluntarily. There are very few.
Ideally.
There are communes in the United States. The Occupy movement has developed a very nice little village where everyone has a voice and to be a part. I happen to know that in Israel, they have these tiny little towns called kibbutzim. They have maybe 1,000 people in them. And everybody works. And nobody gets paid, and one person's in the fields, and one person makes the food, and one person looks out after the children. And for the people who choose that lifestyle, God bless them, I'm glad they do it. But for people who don't want to be in that lifestyle, it's very stifling, and many leave it.
The main problem.
At the end of the day, I think Anthony's right.
Yes, he is.
That both mankind it can be very selfish, and can also be very giving. I think both instincts are within us.
But you can't do that.
How do you design a society that takes care of both the very selfish person and the very unselfish person?
I guess what I'm trying to do tonight with this topic is diagnose the problem and say how bad it is. The cancer is rampant. It is absolutely rampant.
Yeah. But I'm looking for solutions.
We are sitting... You know,
I need chemo.
No, you're
killing the patient, and I'm trying to save the patient.
No, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. The point is, if you don't know what your disease is, you can't treat it.
Well, that's true.
And if you don't admit this dark side that Anthony referred to, if you don't understand that and admit that is part of our nature, and therefore we might want to try to check
it. That's my point. It's been done throughout human history.
There's some things have changed now, Mark. And Terry's bringing out a good point, and that is the things such as the level of manipulation. There are things that have changed.
Phenomenal.
One of the things that's going on now, the manipulation is very complicated and people don't understand it. Let me give you an example. We talk about consumerism. Buy, 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 buy.
Look Black at that. Friday,
there's
Black
a,
Saturday.
There's a picture of a giant celebrity there with those sneakers on, so I need them. What's happened now is when they do advertising, what they've studied is the way the brain works.
That's right.
Okay? So now I can come up with advertisements,
Sure. Not
just, you know, a good-looking girl in a short skirt and say, hey, buy this. I can figure out how the brain works and how I can manipulate physically,
you never
almost biologically.
You never see an attractive person selling a car.
Manipulate your brain. But it's bigger than that.
The scale we're at is
so phenomenal. That's right. So the scale that we are on now of consumerism and of manipulation of the masses is to an extent that it's never been
before. Well, Carl, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Terry then. How would you stop it?
First, you got to get the American public, and they are the part of the most powerful nation of the world still.
I want to hear my answer, Mark, to admit
that they have the problem, because right now
you're caught in
this consumerism to the point where we pretend that's our solution.
I don't think there is a solution.
And not only that, we say the only way for any impoverished country for it to make any progress is it's got to become the big consumer, which is only going to rape the earth even faster.
And let me give you my answer, Mark. And there's lots of people, even friends of mine, that won't like it. You know, if you are, let's say you're in a car and you drive off a cliff, and you look down, and you are racing towards the ground.
You don't have much time.
And one of the drivers looks at the other and says, how do we stop this?
Thank you for that
That's
metaphor.
That's my answer.
Well, then it's too late.
It.
Then it's all gloom and doom, and we're all destined to
But it's
have
not.
A,
no,
a massive
no, no, no,
problem.
No.
What happens
because
in nature, once you've driven
no,
off the cliff,
what it's not gloom.
No.
It's not all.
What happens
no,
in
wait,
nature?
It's not all gloom and doom because we're sitting here right now talking about it.
Yes.
Well, that's my point.
And what happens in nature? What happens in a forest where there are too many apex predators? What happens in a forest?
They die off.
When
they
you
die
introduce
off.
Too
off.
Many apex predators, all of the animals are wiped out except a small amount. The birth rates go back up. Nature has a way of resetting things. Mankind thinks that we don't have to deal with the laws of nature. Well, we do.
Yep.
And if we do not fix any given problem, nature will surely fix it.
Well,
so all we got to do is sit on our hands. We don't have to figure out.
And now that we've got the new spaceships that are just being built and the new launch of the rocket thing, the 1% will be able to leave the planet and go somewhere else.
Very easy.
Fantasy. Why not?
All you're saying about the current situation is true, and it's very easy to complain about it. And it's
also not
very
complaining about it. Damn it! It is.
Okay,
we're diagnosing it, Mark.
If we fell off the cliff,
it is identifying the problem.
Okay. Once you identify the problem,
hospice,
you've got to come up with some answer.
One more time.
My answer is simple. My answer is regulated capitalism with more equality, less income inequality,
and you're gonna,
more people having
you're
a voice.
You're going to convince Springer to do this?
No. But if I elect enough Democrats in office, the good ones, not the bad ones.
Oh, come on.
But then we have an SEC. It doesn't work as well as it does. We have an EPA. It doesn't work as well as it could. I mean, to me, what you're doing is you're saying the problem is so bad, it can't be solved. We're going back to nature.
The problem is so bad. Hey, you know what this is? You know what this is? We talked about it once before, and I think it was your idea. This is intervention. That's what we're trying to do right now.
I support this Obama intervention.
And one of the things Obama intervention and the country's intervention because we're in a bad way.
And one of the things you're saying is through politics. You know, what we need to do
is get the right people in
and make some changes.
The only other thing is revolution, and I'm not ready to kill people
Recently, there was a Supreme Court, we need less money in politics, right? But recently we had Citizens United.
Okay.
So as we say, this is way to move. Wait a minute, let me finish. As we say, this is what we need to do to fix the problem, isn't it fairly clear that we're actually moving in the opposite direction?
Citizens United is a 5-4 Supreme Court decision.
Right.
If one of those five judges were to retire and a Democrat were in office, we would get a better Supreme Court that can and should reverse Citizens United. If you give up on politics and you don't elect a Democratic
president, I agree with that. I haven't given up on politics.
You can't get a new Supreme Court justice appointed to reverse that awful, disgusting
decision. Which brings us to the point. You know,
so we do need politics, like it or not.
This is really key because what we've got now, again, is this denial. Do you hear a presidential candidate anywhere? Including Obama.
President Obama has talked about citizens.
No. The hell with citizens. Is anybody talking about the poor in this nation? Is any politician even concerned about it? No.
And you see what happened to him.
No, I mean, you've got Lyndon Johnson. I'm talking about today, Mark. You've got all these presidential candidates. You've got Barack Obama, an African American. Is he talking about the poor?
The poor don't have any money.
Does he use any words like
about
that?
No.
Not very often.
Are they talking about poverty? No, they don't give a damn. And they don't give a damn because they are caught in this disaster. And they really are. I don't want to see it go to violence either. I don't want to see a bloody revolution. I do want to see change.
You did.
Because if we don't have the change, we're going to have...
Just watch the French Revolution.
We're going to have...
Just a couple guillotines.
We're going to have social disasters that are going to be more destructive than any revolution could possibly
be. And what are all those torches?
Real quickly, Hayao, we've only got about a minute.
There is a term for the problem. It's called the beast and the worship of the beast. And when you look right down the street there at that obelisk, that's the symbol of the beast. And that's why it's there. And it's been there all through history. That symbol has been there all through history because it symbolizes the same thing that's been in the world all through history. And the solution is to get out of it, get out of Babylon. And the way you do that is by obeying the commandments of God and accepting his political economy.
Thank you for your faith and thank you for your determination, Hayao, and I mean that. And, you know, whether or not we identify the beast as out there or the beast in us, both.
Particularly in you.
Yeah, well, no question about it. That's my opinion.
I'm just throwing that out there, right. That's all.
Thanks a lot. You're a big help, you beast. You.
All I know is beasts wear goatees. That's all I got to say.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Hey, wait a minute, Terry. I resemble that. I mean, I resent that remark.
It's wonderful to laugh at the destruction of the country that we love.
They're playing violins. Yeah, right. You know.
Apparently they played some really good tunes.
I guess so, and they danced.
But Mark, I'm still involved in politics. I still vote, I still work, and I still believe that we're in the eighth, fifth, right wing.
It's not the only answer.
There's only two answers. There's politics or violent revolution.
No,
and
that's not true.
And I'm still willing to. And what's the third answer?
No.
We can meditate. I meditate a lot.
No, there's one specific problem, and that simply is the scale of the problem.
It's a major problem.
That's the major problem.
There is no one solution.
Politics has failed us completely at this time. There's no question of that.
There are other issues, largely.
Can politics be restored if other things happen? Is there a spiritual component, as Hayao points out? You betcha there is.
And people need to take these things. I already have the answer. Absolutely.
All of these things need to be used, which
the Occupy movement has done very well.
But at the end of the day, civil rights took to the streets.
One of these days,
you guys are going to give me a heart attack, and our medical system isn't going to take care of me, and I'm going to be unhappy. But anyway.
And if they do, they'll charge you $150,000.
They will. $185,000 is what the average American has to pay in the last year of their life. Wonderful system.
And that's actually what kills them, the bill.
They see the bill and they drop dead.
We're running out of time here. This has been, obviously, the Raucous Caucus.
Oh, Terry, I forgot to give you a solution for it all.
Yeah.
I just go for a walk in the woods behind my house and listen to the sounds of nature. That's my solution.
Okay.
Okay. Back to I like that.
Okay.
It's
the only one I got. It's all I can do.
I didn't even know we invited Thoreau on the set.
We got to thank David Kelly back at the station. We got to thank our wonderful engineer, Daniel. We got to thank all of the WPFW staff. We got to remind you of the Greg Palast fundraising event. December 6th up in Silver Spring. Make sure you go to WPFW.org to find out about
that. And listen to Garland and me next week without Terry. It's going to be a lot.
It's going to be
quieter, peaceful. We're going to actually make sense of the way the world.
Knowledgeable, intellectual.
Next Tuesday at 7 p.m.
It's going to be kumbaya.
We're in studio. You can call in and you can be with Garland and me.
You can.
The Raucous Caucus.
And I
hope encourage
you
to do that.
I hope you do that too. If you're not at the Greg Palast event, make sure you're listening to the Raucous.
But you'll be at the Greg Palast event.
We're going to try to tweet more. Go to at Raucous DC, tweet back at us, and we'll try to learn how this news.
And we
got
to mention right after our show is Africa. No, not Africa. No, that's tomorrow. Is Brother On, the Jazz Collection.
Absolutely.
And you should be so grateful for that, for after all the shouting that Mark has done.
Yeah.
You know,
that I have
and
done.
We're wrapping it up. It
you're
is the Raucous
Caucus,
WPFW 89.3 FM. Thank you, Mark and Garland.
All right.
I'm Jared E. Kester with Mark and Garland.
All right.